We are born free.
And we will die free.
The time in between, though,
that's complicated.
In that time, governments, institutions, and our egos will limit our ability to find true freedom in this life. These are real stories of real people overcoming the odds, persevering in justice, and unlocking their potential. Welcome to Finding Freedom. Here's your host, John Oderman.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Finding Freedom here on the Lions of Liberty Podcast Network. Great to have you here. If you're watching live, that's awesome. We're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. So for those live watchers out there, awesome. Or if you're listening to the replay, which comes out on Mondays, great to have you as well. However you're consuming this, I don't really care. Just make sure that you subscribe to your platform of choice, be it the podcasting app you're listening on or the video platform that you're watching on, because that, at the end of the day, that helps us to grow the show, grow our audience, and monetize this podcast so we can do even bigger and better things. Without any further delay, I'm going to bring in today's guest. We're going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking really about fitness and strength and flexibility and really, really building a foundation of a healthy body. So my guest today is Jason Gagne. And I met Jason, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago or so. We connected on social media. We've had a couple conversations, and he actually took me through one of his programs to, you know, work on the flexibility in your body and really, really opening up your body to be able to, you know, exercise in a safer way, in a way where really you can, you know, have a foundation to really build up strength. So Jason has an awesome story that he's had to overcome some obstacles in his life to get to the point where he is now. And now he's sharing those. He's a personal trainer, and he just came out with a new, really awesome, 90-day, routine, which we'll talk about. It's called Good to Go. And Jason, it's great to have you here on Finding Freedom.
Thanks, John. Yeah, it was great connecting a couple of months back. It's been good chats and fun chatting with you all the time. So,
yeah, there have been a couple of times we've been chatting when I'm like, man, I wish that we were recording this. And but now we are. So everyone will get to hear it. But, you know, one thing that, you know, really made me interested and, you know, making sure that I could help you to share your story was when you told me about, like, really the physical obstacles that you had to overcome in your own personal life. Mm. So I think that's kind of a good starting point, because I'm guessing that's probably something that, you know, really motivated you and drove you towards a career in fitness.
Set the grooves for sure. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that started when I was pretty young. You know, I was a real physical, active kid, but I was born with a bone growth issue in my body where the right femur just wasn't keeping up with the other femur. And have you ever heard of the Shriners Children's Hospital?
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so I was a Shriners kid. They were going to do the procedure where they basically break the femur bone, pins and screws on each side of the bone, and then basically they turn and lengthen, and then you'd wait for the bone basically to graft in. You know, you look at that, I think about that nowadays and all the different procedures they have now, because this was like 25 years ago, or more than 25 years ago, 30 years ago. So it was just a different process, and a lot went wrong. I didn't really have the home care I needed to really have rehabilitation or clean the wounds or anything like that. So there was a lot of complications in it. And as amazing as Shriners Children's Hospital is, and it absolutely is, it was more kind of, I wasn't at the hospital too much. So I actually had to kind of clean my own wounds. I had to rehab my own body. And, you know, I was just a really active kid, and I couldn't see myself ever sitting still. And I was getting bed sores and things like that. So it was just kind of like desperation, always pushing forward. And that went from about 9 to 14, 13, 14 of just real wow. bedridden, real complications, real pain in the body, crutches, big cast, external pins in the leg, out of school, homeschool, just a mess. But it was about just rebuilding my body little by little, no direction, just kind of going out on my own, real motivated to, well, basically not be crippled. Mm-hmm. And got myself along. By the time I was 18, 19, 20, I was doing great. I was, you know, still hiding the limp a little bit, but just bringing my body together all those years kind of put me into kind of obsessed with the human body, right? I had a real intimate relationship yeah. with my body from a young kid. So that led me to working as an ER tech in hospitals and emergency rooms. That led me to working with AMR Ambulance for 3 years, 911 in Los Angeles. And that's what led me to, okay, that's enough emergency. How do we avoid all these things? In which I became a personal trainer, had some amazing clients, had amazing career in personal training with some just amazing results for some really great people. And then that kind of led me into, okay, well, I have to build a program for people starting from where I did, which is square one. You're not in yeah. the body ready for the gym. You're not in the body ready to go play outdoors. There's got to be some real basic rehab. And that kind of led me to always my clientele being people who were starting from square one, starting from zero. That's where I had the sensitivity to. And created the Good to Go training program, which is a, just like you said, a 90-day straight through program. But it's really for someone who's just starting from square one. The 90 days, it's not intense, especially for the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You're just opening up on the floor, getting that body pain-free. You're drinking 128 ounces of water. You're going for a 20-minute walk every day, and you're going off the guidelines on the nutrition plan. So it's just a real 90 days. You know, I experienced that in my training career. If I had someone for 3 months, if they were doing these things, in 3 months, they would be ready for anything. Now they can go to the gym. Now they can do a beach body program. But there wasn't anything out there for the real square ones, which were always my clients. And yeah, I put together the program. It launched a few weeks ago. And it's had some early success, and it's been great. I'm really happy with it, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results it gets for the people. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, man. And I want to come back to talk more about it in a moment here, but let's backtrack for a minute. And I like that term square ones. You know, people who are at square one who. Really, I mean, it's a safety hazard, really, going into a gym or trying to do a beach yeah. body workout. You're putting yourself at risk. You're putting yourself in a potential to injure yourself, really. So I want to go back to your story for a minute. When you were at square one, and you're just a kid at that point in time, from a motivational standpoint, what drove you on a day-to-day basis? Like, what made you do the exercises and the strength training and the flexibility that you needed to do back then? Was that something that was just ingrained in you, or did you learn that somewhere along the way?
I think it was a little ingrained in the character as of such an active physical kid. And now this is all gone. What really kind of motivated was, I was in a tremendous amount of physical pain and, it was just like, that wasn't going to get any better. It was only getting worse. And basically almost like a claustrophobia led me to just like, okay, get outside, keep moving, just whatever you got, use the crutches, drag the cast, whatever you got to do. So I think it was just kind of like an outdoor personality meets an indoor, don't contaminate, painful. It was just like, oh, it was just so opposite of what I'd ever be able to stand. That I think, yeah, just something just kind of pushed me towards lean into it. You know, a lot of people were trying to hand me handicap stickers and, you know, you can park anywhere you want or give this to your mom and stuff like that. And I remember even from a young age, like, no, no, no. Like in my head, everyone was kind of calling me crippled when I felt injured. I'm like, no, like it was a lot of walking around holding my ears basically. And it just worked, but there was a lot of luck to it. You know, I wish I could say, oh, I just toughed it through and I didn't have any breaking points and I was strong and I persevered. Mm-hmm. But there was just kind of like lucky as in, it was very apparent to me when I was a kid, there was going to be like no help. So really it was going to be staying still as death. So there wasn't anything else to lean on. So I kind of had a focus. I wasted a lot of time just because, you know, you're a kid, you don't know what to do. I'm cleaning my wounds. I think this is exercise. But it probably wasn't till about 15 when I really kind of started putting some strategy to getting my leg better. You know, you're into the girls, you're hanging out with guys. It was a little bit of a tough school. You didn't want to limp in the school I was in. So a lot went to kind of overcompensating, right? You're this young man, you've been bedridden for a few years. You're kind of coming into a rough scenario. And yeah, you just don't want to stand out. You want to hide in the crowd. And a lot of motivation was don't limp. A lot of motivation was work the upper body, you know, kind of don't look like a target. And yeah, so physical fitness was always extremely important to me from a young age. It just kind of had to be.
Yeah. So when you talked about your you know, your philosophy really with Good to Go, the 90 days and, you know, building up from just really, you know, you talk about your first couple workouts or just, you know, just on the floor, really getting that foundation and that, right, and that flexibility. And I can attest to that because you took me through one of those workouts, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. And I'll tell you what, man, I mean, this is hand to God honest. I just so happened, it was like a couple of days after we had that workout, I was practicing softball with my daughter, showing her how to swing. And I tweaked my back and I started doing just the beginning, that beginning flow that you showed me.
Ah, yes.
Two or three times a day. And I feel more flexible than I felt in years. I mean, in probably decades.
Oh, I'm so happy you did that and kept up with it. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah. But I honestly needed like that little motivation from having that back pain to get me to do it. But yeah, now I just need to keep it up. So, if you can just talk a little bit about like your philosophy and maybe if you want to share where you got that from, or if you came up with it on your own, of like those beginning exercises that you do start out with.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So came up with nothing on my own. You know, all the information is out there, you know, lots of research, a lot of mentors, a lot of books, a lot of studies. So, I mean, and a lot of clients, like over 20 years of clients rolling in and rolling out and experience with different people. And I guess what really, like to me, a 101 client, for instance, you know, yourself, you're in great shape. When we did that session, you moved great. You know, you had the muscle tone, everything looked good. You kept up with it. But like you're saying, like you did a movement and you get a little pulled, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny. A lot of people think that you have to be obese to really need these fundamentals. When I found that most people are really lacking in the fundamentals. Yeah, they're getting under the bench press. Yeah, they're trying to lose weight. But most people, I'm like, you can't touch your toes, or you can't come up and down from the ground, or you can't do 10 push-ups, or you're kind of stumbling over your feet and you couldn't stand on one leg. I was all, these are like real hazard points for a body. And a lot of people just walking around in pain from their bodies already tightening up. So I was always just kind of, well, what's the real fundamentals? Like, what are the truths that don't change? Because in the industry, there's this protein powder, and now do Tabatas or try this style, or hit the equipment or do class, you know. So there's a lot of, I was like, okay, well, what are the truths that don't change? And I wanted to develop the program around that. So I was just like, okay, what are movements the body has to be able to do? Has to be able to touch its toes, has to be able to sit on its heels, has to be able to squat, has to be able to have open hip flexors, has to be able to balance, come up and down, do push-ups, do burpees. And what would, how long would it take for me to get a 101 body from I can't touch my toes or get up and down from the ground by the end of the 3 months, the 90 days, doing burpees, doing push-ups, getting up and down from the ground, and actually having a body they can now take to one of the other programs, like a beach body, or actually now they can take it to the gym. They're out of all these danger zones. They got their energy. They've built a habit over 90 days. They've been hydrated. They've done their 20-minute walks. They've done the 30-minute video. They've kept it up for 90 days. It's no one can afford training for 90 days, right? Like, mm-hmm. You're paying what, $75 to $100 an hour for 90 days. Good luck. But I kind of was like, I wanted to take the body that I was used to, the body that I was always seeing. I can't touch my toes. I can't catch my breath. I can't even get up and down from the floor, and bring them to burpees, push-ups, squats at a comfortable rate, consistency, not intensity. And that's boom, the good to go body program. I was just like, how do I get them to the point where they can now go do anything? And that's the good to go body training program. And it was mostly just experience and lots of clients.
Yeah. So after, you know, after people get their body good to go, do you have, you know, a certain, you mentioned CrossFit, you mentioned Beachbody, their, you know, HIIT training, traditional, you know, Olympic weightlifting. It's a lot of different options to work out. Do you have one that you favor, or does it depend on the person, or what's your philosophy on that?
A lot depends on the person, right? I wish we were all cookie cutters. Life would be really easy. One thing that person did that worked would work for you. But I really kind of base myself off the philosophy. I'm 41 now. I like my strength. I like my conditioning. I like my flexibility. So when you kind of get into that phase, which is where we all get to, you get the good to go body training program. My philosophy is, if I don't see myself doing it at 80, I don't do it now. So powerlifting, is Jason going to be a power lifter at 80? No, he's probably not going to be a power lifter. Okay, is Jason going to be a skier at 80? No, I'm not going to be skiing when I'm 80, so I pass that on. So when it comes to exercise and activities, I stick to a lot of agility, you know, no equipment needed, pull-ups, push-ups, the military stuff, you know, flexibility, stretching, right. Aspects of yoga. Will I be doing that when I'm 80? Absolutely. In fact, I know the 80 and 85-year-olds that are doing it. Those are my heroes. Those are who I'm working out with at the gym. You know, everyone wants a big buddy to spot them. I was like, no, give me the 70 and up that looks great, that has great health, that isn't on medication. That's who I'm working out with. I got everything to gain from that person. They got nothing to gain from me. That's a perfect scenario. So, that's basically my philosophy. I don't use a lot of equipment. I do the pull-ups. I do the military stuff. I stay flexible. I stay strong. I keep my conditioning up. I'll do that till I'm 80. I most likely won't be powerlifting when I'm 80. I most likely won't be racing when I'm 80 or these other things. So functional movement is something you can do your whole life.
Yeah. And we've talked before about, like, you know, guys like Joe Rogan and, Cameron Haynes, who are guys in their 50s, mid 50s, who are just in tremendous shape. And
tremendous,
you know, there's
right.
tons of examples of that. And I think, like for me, seeing that on social media, that's a huge motivator for me to see people, you know, who are 10, 15, 20 years older than me, who are in better shape than I am now.
Yes.
And I kind of wonder if, you know, previous generations, previous generations were just in better shape because they weren't eating as much garbage, but
better fuel, better engine.
Yeah. They had better fuel than we do now. But I do wonder if today, the generation that we're in now, the people, you know, millennials and Generation X, who you see so many people who are really struggling with being overweight and just being able to move. I mean, you would think that having those good examples, you know, would help, but it's kind of weird in the society that we live in. Sort of the world, or, you know, the mainstream media or whatever you want to call them, the corporate press, sort of vilifies people like that who, you know, are exercising a lot as, you know, as they are maybe too extreme. Maybe that's just me kind of reading that into it, but is that a sense that you get, that like almost like the what's the word I'm looking for? Like the narrative of the world is kind of like, you don't need to be in good shape. Like, don't, it's okay. It's okay if you're not in good shape. And to a certain extent, that's okay. Like, I mean, you want to love the body you're in, but at the same time, you want it to be as healthy as possible, right? So this was a really long ramble, but there was a, I think it was a question in there.
No, I hear it. No, I hear what you're saying. I don't really feel like a pushback, I don't really feel a pushback from people that exercise a lot or they're doing that. I feel that you know, obesity, we'll pick obesity for this. We won't talk mm-hmm. about tight or conditioning or anything. We'll pick obesity for this. I do feel like obesity is kind of being a little bit more preached as a condition, as in more like something you can kind of take care of. So I don't see people really taking people down for working out, but I don't see, there's always a medication to get you out of obesity, right?
Right.
There's always a reason why you're there. And really, you know, I give a lot of sympathy is the wrong word, understanding to obesity in the United States. It's not, you know, people go, oh, drop weight, you know, just exercise, just eat right. And it's like, those are all great things to say. And some of us can wrap our heads around it. Most of us aren't, if you're looking around, but they don't give any kind of appreciation to actually how hard that is. Like, go and find some actually good food without sugars and oils and things that are bad for you. This isn't an easy environment to do that. So I've always had a real understanding when people are, you know, I don't want to exercise. I can't stop eating bad food. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't really look at that as weak, as like a condition. Like, I was just like, well, yeah, well, why would you have energy? Like, there's shit food all around us. You know, why would you work out? The way I see you is that would be dangerous. You need to start off somewhere square one. And, it's just a very hard, and then, you know, every other person you meet is heavy. So it's easy to be an addict around a bunch of addicts,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot has to do with how are you brought up? You know, were your folks obese? Were all your brothers and sisters obese? A lot goes into it more than, hey, these people are lazy, or they should just eat right, or they should just start exercising. If that was all there was to it, we wouldn't have obesity is like an epidemic. I always say obesity of America is like AIDS to Africa.
Yeah.
So this is
what we have.
More than,
I mean,
just discipline. There's something going on.
Yeah. I mean, we have the major food companies have scientists who are designing food to make it as satiating as possible and to make it so it doesn't make you full. So you just keep eating and eating and eating. That's difficult to overcome. And I loved how you did a live a few days ago where, and you kind of talked about it right here too, where, like, okay, you're overweight, you're not healthy. That's okay. That's normal right now. This is a starting point, right? I forget how you phrased it, but it's all right if you don't have everything together right now. I mean, you have to start somewhere.
Well, you know, I do see, like, I believe the post you're talking about was, there's a reason why we're lazy. And it was basically, mm-hmm. we're mammals.
Yeah. DNA, yeah. That was it. Yeah.
Right. It's just like, it's in the DNA. Everything in your DNA says lots of calories, now rest, lots of calories, now rest. You don't see bears and wolves doing push-ups in the woods, right? They're conserving their energy to get the food.
Maybe in Russia. No, I think in Russia maybe they're in doing Russia. Like Siberia, they're doing military press with bears. Yeah,
right. I could probably see that in Siberia. I'll take that one back. But yeah, so you know, it's just like it's just too easy. So our own DNA, our own thought processes are meeting horrible marketing and choices, and it's no wonder. It's just like, why, you know, of course most of us are obese. Of course we don't have energy. Of course we're needing medications. So it's a tough one. So when I see these people coming to me, it's like, hey, I'm not doing this. You get a lot of trainers or a lot of, it can be popular in the field to get discipline. And in my head, I'm like, well, you've actually been trapped and it's going to take discipline, but don't go kidding yourself why you're where you're at. It was really, really, really easy to get there.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about Good to Go. You know, you've talked about how it's a 90-day program. Maybe you could talk about sort of the progression, and I'm not asking you to get into the specifics of the exercises, but you can if you want to.
Oh, absolutely.
But just to give people an idea of, you know, if they do sign up, you know, what they would be committing to.
Absolutely. So very basic program, right? Because in a 101 program, you're developing 101 habits and fundamentals. It's just going to make everything down the road easier. So the first part is you're drinking 100 to 128 ounces of water every day. Your body will regulate. You'll be pissing a lot the first couple of weeks, but your body will regulate to it. You're doing a 20-minute walk, and you're doing a 30-minute video, and it's every day. So how I set up the program was realizing I'm dealing from a 101 body, and we shouldn't even be doing anything on our feet. We're going to take the first 3 weeks and just be opening up on the floor, passive, easy opening with some movement. About halfway into the third week, you start kind of moving to flow. Now we've opened up. We've got some things breathing. We got a little more energy because of it. So now we start opening up to a flow. And this is all klutzy, by the way. Nothing you're going to do in this first month or until the last month of the program is ever going to look smooth, right? It's where you're starting from. So how I am saying, reach for your toes. I'm giving you modifications. Hey, listen, you can't touch your toes yet. This is how you're going to start. And because it's every day, the body really, really progresses fast. It's the consistency, like you were talking about with those flow openers I showed you. Doing those twice a day for just a few minutes. Consistency is where the body really delivers. So by the second month, we're coming up to our feet. We're warming up and opening up with the safety of a wall, hands on the wall. By the mid through the second month, we're getting up. We're coming down from the floor, and we're working on the moves like the push-ups, the sit-ups, the crunches. Again, everything looking pathetic, everything looking miserable because you're a 101 body. Why would this look good, right? And I'm constantly reminding them through the video. This is what you're trying to do. This is what you're probably going to look like. And it'll look ridiculous when I'm demonstrating what they're going to look like. But I'm telling you, it's spot on. You're going to look ridiculous.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and just to jump in for a minute, I think that is so important because, like, if you didn't do that, if you didn't, like, put that caveat in, like, it's okay. You're not going to be able to touch your toes. You might look a little, you know, weird doing this.
Going to look ridiculous.
But you'll get better because people could get frustrated and see you, you know, showing them. Because I think a lot of personal trainers do that, especially in this virtual world that we live in, where they're just showing, here, you just do this move here. And the person looks at it like, I can't do that. So they quit.
Like, I'm not even going to attempt that. That's like asking, hey, try a backflip. I'm not trying a backflip. What are you talking about? I'll get hurt.
Yeah, no, you can continue on. You were working through the program.
Exactly,
so yeah,
exactly what you're saying. That's the perfect point because people will try these things in a program and go, I can't do that or I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, no, you need someone explaining to you. Mm-hmm. That's how that looks right now. Right. That's it. It's about the progression. Nothing's about how it looks today. It just keep trying and trying. And the discipline of sticking to, you know, I didn't want to put any days, you know, I kept hearing from other programs. Oh, do Mondays, do 3-day-a-week program. I'm like, but that doesn't build a habit. They'll start trading days. I know these people. I know these people. They'll say, oh, well, I missed today, but I'll do two next week. And I'm like, you start trading. And I'm like, and that's not how any of us, the pros, we do it. We do a little every day. So the discipline of showing up for the 90 days, the discipline of drinking 128 ounces to 100 ounces of water, the discipline of that 20-minute walk, you get results very fast. You know, a lot of people, oh, you're going to lose this much weight. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. I promise you, you will be surprised by the rate your body progresses. And when you're doing every day, consistency over intensity. You know, the other thing with this program is I didn't want anyone being sore. So the recovery days are built in. So just as you get into maybe the beginning of the third month where you're going, ooh, okay, now we're moving, you know, we're doing some stuff. Well, the rest days are built in. When they go, why do I got to show up for a rest day? Because you got to show up. Like the habit is to show up. So a few of these sessions, a couple of these sessions to three through the whole program, we're just opening up, we're breathing, we're relaxing. That was your session for the day. Why? Because it's about showing up. It's about practicing the habit. You needed some rest. And one of the sessions was a couple of these sessions are rest a week. So I really wanted to target my client. I really wanted to address their fears. I really wanted to be not only tell them it's okay where you're starting, but show them what it's going to look like when you're starting. This is what it looks like. Like Goofy has everything to do with it. That's why we're on the floor for the first 6 weeks. We're not moving. We're not bringing it up. So yeah, it was basically just knowing my client when I built this program, knowing what they needed, knowing the pace, and knowing where I can get them from day one to day 90.
Oh, you still there, Jason?
Yeah.
Well, I'm lost for a minute. Okay. Yeah, so you were talking about knowing your client, right? So you've been doing this for a long time, and you've been doing it virtually for I'm not sure how many years, but I'm assuming at
years now, before the pandemic. Yes.
So yeah, tell us about that transition, how you got into virtual training just as a thing, and the response to it.
Oh, okay. So virtual training snuck up. I remember I was in California, Los Angeles area, and I worked for gyms and everything, LA Fitness, 24-hour fitness, but I was always just kind of like, oh, I didn't get to pick my own clients. The sessions weren't set up right. There was a protocol. I'm like, okay. And then I basically started basically just going to the park and having clients meet me at the park so we could train in the park. So I did that very successfully for probably about 10 years and just had some great programs, some great clients, some great results. I was training whoever I wanted. I felt like I owned this park. Everyone knew Jason. Oh, Jason's training in the park. You can go ask him. He's like trainer. So I had this whole park as basically my office, and it was absolutely just beautiful. I absolutely loved it. That let me realize I was never going to open my gym because I have to be outside. I was like, why would I open a gym and give myself an office? I'm like, I love the park. I like outdoor training. I like one-on-one. Okay. But also I'm a big gypsy. I'm nomadic, right? I have an RV when I'm in the United States. I'll get an apartment out in Mexico. I'm going to England here in the next few weeks for a few weeks. So I was just I'm just like a gypsy at heart. And I love travel. I love adventure. And I used to go, basically work my ass off training for about 6-7 months out of the year, back to back. But I loved it. It wasn't ever a problem. And then I would save my money and I would take off for 6 or 5 months and just go travel South America or Central America or Asia. And then I would come back and like get my clients back and start training in the park. And I did that for like 10 years, travel half the year, work half the year, travel half the work. And in my head, I was developing like I'm having a little bit of a, how can I not stop traveling and train? And this was before streaming or anything. I mean, Zoom had just come out, and FaceTime and everything still wasn't like very, it was still really new. So I'm starting about time, like, wow, if I could do videos on my cell phone, if that could really work and I could train people when I'm traveling, well, then my life, it would just absolutely be perfect. And it took a lot. And I had a client of mine, Leslie, who was basically, yeah, you could do that on Zoom. Like, I would train with you on Zoom. She kind of helped even bring the idea to my head. Just do it on video. And I did from then. And it was a real hard sell. People didn't know what I was talking about. They kept thinking I was trying to sell them CDs. I'm like, no, a training session on your phone, like a video. No, live, like FaceTime. And it just wasn't clicking. And it took me like a year and a half to actually get people understanding it. And then I went, I traveled.
Whoop. Looks like we just lost Jason, and he's back.
There we go.
Lost you there for a second. Got you back.
No problem. What part did that leave off on?
It just cut out when you were talking about when you were trying to convince people to train. Gotcha. You're like, no, you watched it on your phone, and yeah.
Right. Yeah. So no one knew what I was talking about. It took me about a year and a half to have full clientele and to be able to train from wherever I was. And it's just absolutely been just the most blessed part of my life, being able to do what I love in gypsy form with the people I choose and enough time to develop like a program for people to use. It's absolutely been outstanding. Like, the life has been outstanding.
So when the pandemic hit, and they forced us into lockdowns, did people
boom,
like, did your business totally blow up?
Now everyone understood what I was doing. Everyone was like, yeah, Zoom training. I heard about that. I was like, I've been screaming this for like 5-6 years.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So like, so, yeah, some of these people you train, like, do you have like some really like long-term clients, like for multiple years?
I have some clients I've been training 15, 16 years. Wow. And basically just maintenance programs, right? Just keep it all together, keep it moving, mm-hmm. and keep it fun and changing, right? I mean, it's about doing it something every day, and you get addicted to it. Yeah, you get addicted to it.
Yeah.
I always told myself if I was hiring three things out, it'd be a trainer, a cook, and lessons in whatever I want. I mean, it's so nice to have like a one-on-one focus.
Yeah, for sure. And the accountability with that is definitely huge.
It's how our monkey minds work, right? It's the same part of the brain that wants calories and wants to relax. It's the same part of the brain that says, no, I need someone here. I need a collaboration. I need someone to do it with. Mm-hmm. You know, you can march triple far if you're marching with other guys. It's just like something about the camaraderie, something about the appointment, something about the investment. It works. It's just how the mind works.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to kind of explore mentally. But like, I think like to my own life, and that's absolutely true. Like, there's something about not wanting to let other people down where it makes us hold ourselves accountable, which is a definitely a powerful thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, people to people. It's like we were even talking about. I mean, we just started chatting like I think you're right, like 7-6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the second I'm like, okay, this is a cool guy. I like his mindset. Really, okay, decent, good chat, smart guy. You know, you start picking people that we were talking about. How as you get older, you get more specific as you pick communities, you pick people that you're going to talk to, and it's because it's so important, right? I mean, people drive you. Like, the people you have around you are the people you have expectations for, and that you have to live up to a certain expectation. And when you get a trainer or a coach or a tutor, or you take on a program, it's all the same thing. It triggers that show up response. You're not in this alone response. You have to do this because they're here. You got to do it for them response. It's intensely beneficial. I mean, I don't know if you've had coaching in other areas of your life, but it works in every area of your life. You want to get fit. You want to learn a language. You want to learn a new job. You want to learn martial arts. It's just like, it's about like specific programs and one-on-one.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So question for you on traveling. You know, you're a guy that you referred yourself as a nomad. You like to go to South America. You're going over to England, I think you said. Out of all the places that you've traveled, and maybe this is a very difficult question, so I'll make it a little more lenient. What's the top like two or three places that you really love to go outside of the U.S.?
Oh man, okay, so that's a lot, and you know, I'll tell you, and people that travel a lot will get this, and you know, probably most people will get this. It like your favorite places are always about like the people you were with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah,
there's amazing places. If you were going to say, Jason, like, what was like, that is a hard question, right? Because I love the Amazon and Peru and Ecuador and the Colombia. Like, South America is outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. And then there's amazing places, Central America, Belize. Vietnam is always at the front of my mind as one of the most beautiful and charming people you'd ever hope to have meet. And the guys that I was with, I basically was like, okay, I'm going to get a scooter and I'm going to go across the country. Like, I'm going to go from Saigon to Hanoi. So wow. You could buy a motorcycle out there for like $350, which is what I paid for it. And you get to the hostels and I meet this guy from Australia, Mark. And then we meet a guy from India, Panut. And then we meet Marty from France, and we have Connor from England, and we have John from Germany. And all of a sudden we have like this NATO scooter gang, right? We all have our Vespas and we're all like, yeah, let's cut across. And these are all just like cool guys, gentlemen, really, really smart, traveling for, and it was just an absolute blast. You know, that was an amazing time. I basically trekked and bused from Costa Rica to Peru. I met a lot of travel buddies there. I was traveling with my buddy Shane. I was traveling with a buddy that we met in Ecuador, James from England, and got to do like ayahuasca and Amazon. So I don't know, you know, and then. It's a hard one. And then, you know, you can never forget the U.S. The U.S. with a road trip is amazing. Yeah. You know, you can really forget the U.S. is an amazing country to road trip.
Yeah, you look at the maps.
I'm
like
talking about traveling now. Like, I forgot the question. Favorite place is a hard one. But I'd say
there's a map that I saw recently of Europe that has the U.S. overlaid over Europe. And it's like, you really get up, you know, people in Europe say that, oh, people in the U.S. don't travel at all. They don't travel outside of the U.S. But you see, like, the distances of going from, like, you know, Pittsburgh to Houston. If that was Europe, you're traveling across, like, four countries.
Right.
So it's wild. Yeah, it definitely is underrated what we do have here, you know, right at home with the national parks and everything else. I was lucky growing up as a kid that – my parents love to just go on long road trips. We had a big old Suburban that we would all pile into, me and my brother and sister. And we drove out to Yellowstone National Park, drove to Rocky Mountain National Park, and drove to the Grand Canyon. This is all from Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. But, yeah, I mean, it's good to get on the road for sure.
It's great. Well, you know, it's funny because the rules are different in different places, right? One of my favorite things to do is just show up somewhere I haven't been, figure out where I'm going from there, and find a cool way and cool people to do it with. You know, so I'll chill out in a hostel for like, you know, a few days, and you start meeting guys like you or people like you or girls like you. You're like, yeah, and you actually form these groups, and then you start talking about where you're going to go. So that's another good time. But like different places you go have different, like if you go to Europe, you're going to want to do the trains, right? You do South America, you're going to want to do the buses. You know, you do a U.S., you want an automobile. So there's different ways to see different countries.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the U.S. it's hard to get around if you're just traveling on a Greyhound or something
right.
like that.
You'll miss it all. You'll miss all the stops. You'll miss the expanse. You'll fall asleep on the bus.
You might get stabbed by somebody. It's just
you might get stabbed by a meth bum, but you know that's all adventure. It's all in the cards.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we're wrapping up here today. I guess one last question or one last opportunity for you to. You know, kind of drive a main point home. I always ask my guests, is there a certain area of your life or, you know, of your personal training work that I didn't ask you about? Or if I ask you about everything, is there something that you'd like to, you know, double down on and just reaffirm to my audience?
I could just talk forever and hours and everything. I guess my biggest thing I could tell people, if you feel unmotivated, you're looking at people in the gym, you're looking at workout program commercials, and you just feel like, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. You don't have any motivation to do that. It's probably more what you're looking at, right? It just means it's probably above your head. A lot of us feel lazy, but we're being given examples that we know in our heart, that's not me. That's not where I'm at. I can't do that. That won't work. And it might just mean you haven't seen anything that you know is going to work out for you. Always start at your level. Don't just go running into anything, right? You don't want to be all passion and no plan. I see it all the time. Lots of passion, no plan, right? Get a plan when you have that passion. And start from where you're at is the message I would give people. Start from where you're at. Don't be all passion, no plan.
I like that. Don't be all passion, no plan. I often talk about like the need for having a system. You know, if you can systemize something in your life and make it repeatable, habitual, then you'll continue doing it. That's exactly what you're doing with Good to Go Body with that 90 days. So I love that. Just share again. The website where people can find it, your social media, anything else that you want to plug.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Yeah. You can find me on Facebook, Jason Gagne, Good to Go Body, Good to Go Body. You can find me on Instagram, Jason Gagne, Good to Go Body. And also the, website, goodtogobody.com. You can check that out. You can take the fitness assessment to see if you're starting from a 101 body, real easy assessment. Takes 4 minutes. You'll see exactly where you're starting from. And check it out. Don't give up on getting better. And this is great, man. I appreciate, I always appreciate our chats.
Yeah, man. Great to have another awesome chat with you. And this time we recorded it and streamed it live so everyone else can listen to.
Perfect.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, hopefully you enjoyed, guys and girls. I'm sure there's a lot of women out there watching and listening to. I'm sure you enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed this show. I enjoyed it. I can't talk today. Really great interview. Great perspective. Have a lot of respect for what Jason is doing. Like I talked about, I think he's filling a definite need within the fitness community that is just not there. People end up starting too fast, end up getting hurt because their body is just not ready to get in the gym lifting and moving in those ways. So, check out Good to Go Body. I will link to everything on the show notes page at lionsofliberty.com. Be sure that you subscribe to the Lions of Liberty Network on your favorite podcasting app, or if you just want to subscribe to this show, Finding Freedom, you can find that, Finding Freedom with John Odermatt, on any podcasting app. Or if you like video, of course, we have YouTube and Rumble. So check it out there. Thanks for watching live, or thanks for listening. And I will see you all next week. In the meantime, always remember to keep your head up and the fires of liberty burning.